2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And the things thou hast heard of me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men, such as shall be competent to instruct others also. Take thy share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one going as a soldier entangles himself with the affairs of life, that he may please him who hath enlisted him as a soldier. And if also anyone contain in the games, he is not crowned unless he contain lawfully. The husbandman must labor before partaking of the fruits. Think of what I say, for the Lord will give thee understanding in all things. Remember Jesus Christ raised from among the dead, of the seed of David, according to my glad tidings, in which I suffer, even unto bonds, as an evil doer. For the word of God is not bound. For this cause I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The word is faithful, for if we have died together with him, we shall also live together. If we endure, we shall also reign together. If we deny, he will also deny us. If we are unfaithful, he abides faithful, for he cannot deny himself. In this letter of Paul to Timothy, he is concerned with one thing, and that one thing is that there may be faithful men. Men who know the holy calling. Men who have a good deposit in them. Men who know the grace of God. And these men may not only be faithful themselves, but God has done such a work in them that they are competent to instruct others also. And I do believe, dear brothers and sisters, as we are living at the end of the last days, surely it is in the heart of God that he may find these faithful men and women on this earth. Not only they themselves are faithful or trustworthy, that he can entrust his testimony to them, but these men may be used by him to instruct many others that the testimony of Jesus may be continued unto the very end. This is the burden of Paul, and we believe this is the burden of our God, of our Lord Jesus. And I do hope that this will become our burden. Last night we mentioned this matter of grace. How can Paul continue to be faithful against such odds until the very end? And there was no bitterness, there was no self-pity, there was no drawing back, but you'll find that Paul was able to continue on to the very end for the glory of God. Where comes did Paul himself try to tell his son in the faith, Timothy, that the strength did not come from himself. The strength came from the grace of God. So he exhorted Timothy to be strengthened in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. If ever we know what grace is, dear brothers and sisters, we know his grace is sufficient for us in any situation, at any time. I remember several months ago, I met a dear brother in the Lord. When he was 21 years old, he was a medical doctor in China. He was arrested. Before he was arrested, he knew that the day will come that he will be arrested. So he spent the last 6 months before he was arrested to memorize the whole New Testament. He was taken to a labor camp, the second largest labor camp in China. Thousands of people working there. He was there for 21 years. Thank God, in a miraculous way, he was released. When I met him, I found that there was no bitterness in him. And when people asked him, how could you stand 21 years in the labor camp? His answer was, it is not I. It is the grace of God. So dear brothers and sisters, how necessary we are to know the grace of God. Not just knowing it as a teaching, but to know the grace of God as an experience, that we may experience grace, Christ, in such a way that Christ is organized in us. And it is only that we are able to meet any situation. Again, I remember a story about this. Probably you have heard the name of that man. At the turning of the century, he was a man greatly used by God. An Englishman named Pablo. He was one of the Kazakh men. Once he was vacationing with his family, away from his home. And while he was vacationing, his little daughter died. It was a real shock to him. After he buried the daughter. It was Saturday. And on Sunday, he was supposed to speak to the brothers and sisters. And he had such a good heart. He felt that the brothers and sisters were so sympathetic with his loss. So he was asking God to give him some word that he may comfort brothers and sisters. But while he was waiting before God on that Saturday afternoon, seeking for some word to comfort the brothers and sisters, he found that he himself was not comforted. He just couldn't accept what had happened. So he prayed and prayed and prayed, asking the Lord to give him grace that he may be able to feel being comforted within. Then he will be able to share with the brothers and sisters the comfort that God gave him. But no matter how he asked, how he prayed, he felt he was not comforted. God's grace was not there. He asked for grace, but grace was not given. And after the struggle for some time, he got up. He thought it was just hopeless, an impossible situation. He didn't know what to do. As he got up, his eyes fell on something above the mantle of the fireplace. While he was away, his mother put that on the mantle. And he saw these words, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And the word is in bold character. And when he saw that, suddenly he realized one thing. He realized his unbelief. He was asking God all the time, to give him grace that it might be sufficient for him to go through this tragedy and even to comfort brothers and sisters. But he discovered that the grace of God is always there. It is sufficient. All you need to do is take it by faith. So, dear brothers and sisters, just remember this. Grace is always available. It is always here with you. It has never left you nor forsaken you. It is always here. What we need is faith, believing that His grace is with us. His grace is sufficient for us. And as you take it by faith, is yours. And you will find you are what you are, or you are what you will be. It is by the grace of God. This evening we would like to continue on with the fourth thing, which is as essential as the other three elements. And it is share in suffering. When the Apostle Paul was called, you remember in the book of Acts chapter 9, God met Paul on the road to Damascus. Because of the revelation, his eyes were blinded. He was led into the city of Damascus. And there in that house, on the street, for 3 days and three nights, he was fasting and praying. He couldn't see anything. But then you find that the Lord appeared in a vision to Ananias. The Lord sent Ananias to Saul. And what did the Lord say to Ananias? At first, Ananias was a little bit apprehensive. He said, "Lord, I have heard of that man. I heard that he came here to take us, to arrest us." And the Lord says, "He is my chosen vessel. He is a vessel to bear my name before the nations and kings and the children of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Dear brothers and sisters, when God called Paul, he called Paul not only to be a witness of the name of the Lord Jesus, but he called Paul to suffer much for that name. That was a part of the calling. The name of Jesus is most precious to the Father. It is to the Father a name that is above every name. There is no name higher than that name. The name of Jesus is very dear to us who know Him. We love that name. But you must remember the name of Jesus, so far as the world is concerned, it has been and it still is a name despised, rejected, and persecuted. And because of that, whoever is to be faithful to that name is bound to suffer for that name's sake. And you'll find in the life of the Apostle Paul how much suffering he has gone through. If only you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and here you'll find he just mentioned a few of the things that he had gone through It begins with verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as beside myself, I above measure so. In labors exceedingly abundant, in stripes to excess, in prison exceedingly abundant, in death oft. From the Jews 5 times have I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice have I been scourged, once I have been stoned, 3 times I have suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I passed in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of river, in perils of robbers, in perils from my own race, in perils from the nation, in perils in the city, in perils in the desert, in perils on the sea, in perils among false brethren, in labor and toil, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Dear brothers and sisters, do you ever see a man who suffers so much? And he suffered all these things because of the name of the Lord Jesus. As he grew older, his sufferings did not diminish. On the contrary, you'll find as he continued on following the Lord, the sufferings began to be increased and intensified. And at the time when he wrote the last letter to Timothy, he was in chains, in a dungeon in Rome. It was even difficult to find him. You remember in the first chapter of 2 Timothy, Onesiphorus, how he tried to find him in Rome. They just put Paul in a dungeon somewhere, forgotten. And it took Onesiphorus great pain just to find him. How much he suffered. Dear brothers and sisters, he is just following the footsteps of our Lord Jesus. You know, when our Lord Jesus was on earth, for instance, in Matthew chapter 16, it was the beginning when he was being rejected by his own people. So he retreated to the borderland of Caesarea Philippi. And there he asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And they will not tell him all the bad reports about him. So they tried to encourage his heart by telling him all the good reports. Oh, Jesus, Master, some say you are Elijah. Some say you are Jeremiah. Some say you are John the Baptist, came into life. And others say you are the prophet that Moses prophesied in Deuteronomy. One day God will raise among your brethren a prophet, and whoever does not listen to him shall perish. You are that prophet. But our Lord Jesus was not satisfied at all. He said, who do you say that I am? And you remember how Simon Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord Jesus said, blessed you are, Simon, son of Jonah, because this is not something shown you by flesh and blood. It is my Father who is in heaven who has revealed the Son to you. And after that he said, you are Peter, a stone. I will build my church upon this rock, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Then the Lord began to tell his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem. He will be rejected by the priests and the scribes and the Pharisees. He will be crucified. He will die. But on the third day, he will be raised from the dead. The same Peter took hold of him. Maybe shook him a little bit. And said, Lord, no, let it not happen to you. Be kind to yourself. Be mindful to yourself. You don't need the suffering. You don't need the cross. You can have the throne if you want to. Why must you suffer? Don't suffer. And you remember the Lord said, Satan, get me behind. Because you're minding the mind of the flesh, not the mind of God. If anyone is to follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. He who loves his life in this world shall lose it. But if he loses his life for my sake, he shall gain it to eternity. Dear brothers and sisters, not only once, but twice, three times, we find it is recorded in the gospel. Before our Lord Jesus was crucified, he tried again and again and again to tell his disciples that he must suffer, he must die, he will be crucified. But somehow, the concept that Christ must suffer just is foreign to the minds of these disciples. They couldn't understand why Christ must suffer. Brothers and sisters, is it not natural? Is it not that in our natural mind, we can never connect suffering with Christ? We can never connect suffering with believing in Christ. On the contrary, we feel that we suffer because we do not know Christ. If we know Him, if we love Him, then suffering is gone. From now on, it is prosperity. How we love the gospel of prosperity. Because we find this is logical. This is reasonable. This is what it ought to be. Dear brothers and sisters, that is natural thinking. The Lord said, He must suffer. Even after He was resurrected from the dead, He still had that problem with His disciples. You remember in Luke chapter 24, the two disciples were leaving Jerusalem on their way to Emmaus, and our Lord Jesus came in and began to talk with them, and they were so sad because the one whom they put their trust in, the prophet that they believed in, he was dead. And the Lord Jesus began to tell them, is it not right that Christ must suffer before he enters into glory? Now that to the human mind is illogical. That to the human mind is unnecessary. That to the human mind is something to avoid. But our Lord Jesus said, it is necessary. Christ must suffer before he enter into glory. Now he had not only problems with these two disciples. One of them was Clement. But on the very night, he appeared to the other disciples, and he had to go through the same thing again with them. He tried to open up the scripture to them, from the law of Moses to Psalm and the prophet, anything that concerns him, and he said, it is written that Christ must suffer before he enter into glory. Now I wonder whether at that point the disciples began to understand. But anyway, brothers and sisters, is it not true that even to our days, It seems so difficult to connect suffering with Christ, with the gospel, with the church, with believers. In our natural mind, we still have that deep-rooted concept that because we believe in the Lord, because we love Him, therefore He will bless us. He will take away from us anything that will bring any suffering to us. It will be just prosperity. We are not prepared to suffer. When suffering comes to us, it was a surprise. And because we are not ready for it, when it comes, we are not able to cope with it. So here you'll find Paul in his last letter to Timothy. He tried to tell Timothy, God does not give us a spirit of cowardice. God gave us a spirit of courage, of love, of sound mind. And with that courage and love and sound mind, take your share in the sufferings. Be prepared for it. Take thy share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, suffering is a mystery. I do not pretend to understand that mystery. But one thing I believe, and that is, suffering is not God's original purpose for man. That is, God did not create man in order that they may suffer. Suffering is not something in the original purpose of God concerning man. Because God's purpose and His thoughts concerning man, as we find in Psalm, they are good and noble. But because there is sin in the world, as long as this fallen nature is in us, as long as Satan is the ruler of this world, suffering is a must. Suffering is a necessity. Not only God had to suffer the loss of His only beloved Son, but even the Son of God must suffer to the extent of giving up His life. Redemption is not possible without suffering. It is in suffering today you'll find a purifying, sanctifying, maturing factor in it. The very cross is a symbol of suffering. Why is it you find people today are so shallow in their spiritual life? Why is it you find so many babes in Christ? They do not seem to grow up. Why? One reason is, they do not suffer. Suffering does a deepening work in our life. people who do not suffer find very difficult to be mature. But people who have suffered much for that name, you'll find a good deposit in them. Somehow this is a mystery of suffering. Even Paul said, what it is, if this momentary and light affliction will bring in that eternal weight of glory, let me suffer. So, dear brothers and sisters, as the time is drawing close, suffering will increase, not decrease. And unless we have a right attitude toward suffering, when suffering comes, it will find us out. This is one of the preparations that we must be prepared before God. Concerning this matter of suffering, it really is not how much, but it is how willing. It is not for us to try to cause suffering upon ourselves. You know, sometimes that is our natural mind again. Because we do not want suffering. We think suffering is unnecessary. We shouldn't have suffering. God shouldn't allow us to suffer. If He loves us, then He will not allow us to suffer. The moment we cry, He will rush to us and give us whatever we want. And that's love. And then when we begin to see what suffering can do for us, oh, we love to suffer. We want to suffer. And we try to make ourselves suffer. Oh, brothers and sisters, that is again the natural man. And in history, you'll find lots of them. Especially in the Middle Ages, you remember how these men tried to beat themselves with these lashes. And they put metal things on them until they literally bled and almost died. How they lie on beds with nails sticking up. How they wear shirts. Oh, even very rough shirts in order to afflict themselves. How they just drink water and black bread. Oh, you know all these things. Why? Because they think that suffering, there is merit there. And suffering can make them saints. Brothers and sisters, no. God does not want us to suffer in the first place. But God does arrange us to suffer because He loves us. He wants to mature us. What we need is the will to suffer. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, Christ then, having suffered for us in the flesh, do ye also arm yourselves with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has done with sin, no longer to live the rest of his time in the flesh to man's lust, but to God's will. Here you'll find there is one thing that we should have, and that is we must have the will to suffer. As to the measure of suffering, God will measure it to everyone according to His wisdom. But so far as we are concerned,
There must be a will to suffer. Do we have a will to suffer? Or do we will to avoid sufferings as best as we can? That makes all the difference. Will to God that He will not bring all these persecutions that we heard of in other countries upon us, because it is not a very pleasant and happy experience. But at least we should have the will to suffer. If God should want us to suffer for His name's sake in any way, we are prepared to suffer. We are willing to suffer. And that is something that we must have. The power to suffer comes from God. But the will to suffer comes from us. If you do not have the will to suffer, when suffering comes, power to suffer will not come upon you. But if you have the will to suffer, don't worry. When suffering comes, you'll find His grace is sufficient for you. The power will come upon you. Why must we suffer? Paul said, take thy share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We must suffer because we are soldiers. Brothers and sisters, we are not only children of God. As children of God, we find that our Heavenly Father takes good care of us. That is the reason why we do not need to worry about what we shall eat, what we shall drink, what we shall be clothed with, because our Heavenly Father knows what we need. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We are God's children. Our Heavenly Father takes good care. But remember, at the same time, we are soldiers. We are soldiers of Jesus Christ. We are engaged in a battle. And because we are engaged in a spiritual battle, it is the battle of the ages. It is a battle between God and His enemy, Satan. And we have been called into the army of the Lord Jesus. And being soldiers, it is expected of them to endure hardship and suffering. To make a good soldier, how he must be trained. And when a soldier is being trained in the boot camp, he will be given the roughest environment in order that he may be hardened to any situation. He must be disciplined very strictly. He cannot just get up whenever he wants to and sleep as late as he wants to. He just cannot do anything that he likes. If it doesn't suit him, then he goes his own way. You cannot do that. In order to make a good soldier out of you, you will be put in the most strict discipline. In a sense, things are done to you that are really unnecessary. Sometimes I think, why should people in training soldier will get that march? What's the use of marching? Marching in rank and in order, because when you are fighting, if you are marching in that way, you will all be gone. And I think if I know American history, during the Revolution, that's how the British were defeated. But thank God, in Christ, there is neither a British nor an American. You know, sometimes I thought, why, it was just a waste of time. You don't fight that way. Why should you train people in that way and spend lots of time in it? But melt it. Isn't it true that we are just too soft? Isn't it true that we are just too easy? Isn't it true that we live a life of luxury? We do not know what hardship is. We try every way to avoid hardship and suffering. That is our philosophy of life. The pursuit of happiness. We try to gratify ourselves as much as we can. This is the way that we live. Dear brothers and sisters, no wonder we have little use to our captain. He cannot fight a battle with chocolate soldiers. That is the reason why, brothers and sisters, we must have the will to suffer for Christ's sake. We are called to the fellowship of His suffering. Now the sufferings of our Lord Jesus fall into two categories. It is the atoning suffering of our Lord Jesus. That is, our Lord Jesus, He suffered on Calvary's cross alone. No one can share with Him in that kind of suffering. Even when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, His disciples could not share. He was alone. When He was crucified on the cross, there was darkness at noontime. He was all alone. He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He trod the winepress alone. He drank the cup of God's wrath alone. You and me, no one could share with Him in that suffering. He was all alone. Alone, He atoned us by His death. But we see Jesus, made a little inferior than angels, for the suffering of death. He tasted death for everything, alone. We had no share in that suffering. We have no fellowship with Him in that suffering. All we could do was to receive what that suffering had accomplished for us. It is because He suffered. It is because He drank that bitter cup we now are given the sweet cup of blessing. It is because He was broken on Calvary we become united with God in Him. Dear brothers and sisters,
in that category of suffering, no one can share with. No one is worthy. No one is qualified. The Son of God, the Son of Man, Christ Jesus, suffered alone for us. Oh, how we thank Him for that. We can never even understand how deep is that suffering. When He tasted death for everything, we could never understand. All we can do is to bow. But dear brothers and sisters, the sufferings of Christ has another category. And in that category, it is the non-atoning suffering of Christ. And in that category, He called us to have fellowship with Him in His suffering. How He suffered for the sake of righteousness. He called us to fellowship with Him for the sake of righteousness. How He suffered for the name of the Father. He called us to suffer for His name's sake. How He suffered because of His compassion, His sympathy towards the world. He called us to suffer with Him in such suffering. How He travailed, He poured out Himself in order that the church may be born. He called us to fill up that which is lacking in the affliction of Christ, that we may fill in that affliction for the building up of the body of Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, there is a whole category of the sufferings of Christ that He has called us to suffer with Him. We are to share in the suffering of Christ. And not only we are called to share in the sufferings of Christ, we are called to share together in that. Brothers and sisters, Paul was trying to tell Timothy, Timothy, I am suffering with the sufferings of Christ for the sake of His church. Share with me. Accompany me. Be with me. Go through the sufferings together with me. Because we are soldiers together. We are comrades. Do not desert me when I suffer, but suffer together with me. Dear brothers and sisters, how we need it today. We need to share in the sufferings of Christ. In the areas where He suffers, we too suffer. If we are with Him, where He is, there we are, then we must walk the way of the cross, because this is His way. But more than that, thank God, you are not called to suffer alone. You are called to suffer together with your brothers and sisters. What a strength it will be when you are called to suffer. You'll find you're not alone. You'll find there are brothers and sisters of kindred spirit standing together with you to fight the good fight. Dear brothers and sisters, that is what we are called into. Suffer as a good soldier of Jesus. Then Paul tried to illustrate what he means by three illustrations. The first one, he said, no one going as a soldier entangles himself with affairs of life, that he may please Him who has enlisted him as a soldier. First of all, you are a soldier. But as Bishop Moore said, this is not a soldier on furlough, nor a soldier in stationary quarters. This is a soldier in action, in campaign, in combat. Dear brothers and sisters, we are called to be soldiers of Jesus Christ. We are not way back in the camp, nor are we on furlough, but we are in active duty. We are engaged in a battle. And because we are engaged in a battle as active soldiers, therefore it is important that we do not entangle ourselves with the affairs of life in such a way that we become ineffective in the fight. Now, brothers and sisters, it is true. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. It is true, life has many responsibilities and duties that we must perform. That is true. But at the same time, it is also true, because we are soldiers in duty, we must not entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life. In Luke chapter 21, we are being warned. Verse 34. But take heed to yourselves, lest possibly your hearts be laden with the sitting and drinking and cares of life, and that they come upon you suddenly unawares, for as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell upon the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore, praying at every season, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things which are about to come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Dear brothers and sisters, we are warned, lest our hearts are laden way down with eating and drinking and the cares of this life. We are so way down that when the Lord shall come, we find we are so rooted to the ground, we cannot go up. How can we live our lives on earth, performing all the responsibilities and duties that we must perform, and yet at the same time not being entangled by the affairs of this life? Now, how can it be? I think, number one, probably we need to live a simpler life than we are living today. Our life today is just too complicated. Why? Because we are always comparing ourselves with our neighbor. If they have this, why do we not have it? It is because we love to have a life of ease and luxury. Dear brothers and sisters, the necessities of life are very few. If you just sit down and think, you will find that the necessities of life are few in number. Many things that we feel we must have are not necessities. It is because we want to match with our neighbors. Oh, if we can live a simpler life for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Christ, we will not be so entangled. Number two, it is really a matter of the heart. even if we must be occupied with the things of this life. Yet, there must be such a detachment in our hearts that when the higher duty calls, these things cannot stand in the way. As soldiers, we want to please the one who has enlisted us. Dear brothers and sisters, I think the reason why today Christians are so much entangled, it is because we forget we are active soldiers. If, when duty calls, we cannot lay down everything, then there is a danger. When that call comes from above, you will not be able to respond. How we need to be before the Lord, that our hearts may be detached from the things of this earth and really be attached to Him. As the scripture said, the days shall come, and we believe now is, people who are using things as if there are no things. That is the heart attitude of a soldier. We will not allow anything to entangle our hearts. And then Paul used another illustration. He said, "And if also anyone contain in the games, he is not crowned, unless he contain lawfully." Engage in a contest. Contain in a game. To the Greeks, this is something that they all know. We have the Olympics. People want to engage in the contest to try to win the crown. And in order to do that, we are told, in the early days, an athlete who was to compete in the games in Greece, they will be trained for 10 months before the game. And during the 10 months, his life will be so regimented, disciplined, everything is prescribed for him. Even his food is prescribed rigorously. He just cannot eat anything he likes. He cannot just go out and have a milkshake. Everything is rigidly prescribed. His diet, his manner of life, when he should go to sleep, when he should rise up, and everything has to be according to rule. Discipline. And if he should violate any rule, he will be disqualified for the contest. And in Greek, he said, becomes a castaway. A castaway. Dear brothers and sisters, we are engaged in a contest. Therefore, it is necessary for us to deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow the Lord. If we refuse to be disciplined, if we do not cooperate with the discipline of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is our coach, our instructor. The world is the gymnasium. Everything that the Holy Spirit has arranged in our life are all these different exercises. And unless we are willing to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and exercise to the extent of aching and pain and suffering, stretching beyond our measure, brothers and sisters, we will not win in the game. If all that the Greek athletes gained was just a crown of flowers, what if it is the crown of glory, the crown of life, the crown of righteousness? Should we not submit ourselves to the discipline of the Holy Spirit? And the third illustration. The husbandman must labor before partaking of the fruit. You know, to be a soldier, trained to be a soldier, or trained to be an athlete, there is a certain amount of glamour there. But to be a farmer, nothing exciting. You have to go out and sow. You have to till the ground. You have to water it. You have to weed out the weeds. You have to patiently wait and wait and wait until the harvest comes. In other words, it is just patiently endure. And that's hard. You know, brothers and sisters, our American mentality is to be instant. We want instant success. If we put something in, we want to see it harvested the next minute. That's our mentality. We have no patience. We cannot endure. We give up. But dear brothers and sisters, if we want to really be trustworthy men and women, if we want to be those vessels that God can use to instruct others, we must patiently endure. That's suffering. We must suffer for the sake of the gospel. We must suffer for the sake of Christ. We must suffer as Christians. We must suffer for the elect. We must suffer for those who are lost in sins and transgressions. Dear brothers and sisters, we are called. This is part of our calling. Do not be surprised if suffering comes. What will be the consequence, the result? The word is faithful. For if we have died together with him, we shall also live together. If we endure, we shall also reign together. If we deny, he also will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he abides faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Dear brothers and sisters, if we have died with him, he called us to die. That grain of wheat has fallen into the ground and died, and it has borne much fruit. And now he is calling us, who are the many grains, to follow him, to die, to be broken, to be reduced, in order that we may live together with him. If we endure, we shall reign together with him. Brothers and sisters, we are now in a time that requires patience and endurance. He that endures to the end shall be saved. But who can endure? He who has the will to suffer. If you do not have the will to suffer, a little pain will break you. But if you have the will to suffer, you will find the power to suffer will come from above. And if you endure, you shall reign with Christ. Oh, brothers and sisters, Paul said, as he wrote this last letter to Timothy, you know, when he wrote Philippians, he was not sure whether he could make it. When he wrote Philippians, he said, I just forget what is behind me. I'm pressing on towards the goal that I may attain at our resurrection from among the dead. I do not say that I have already attained, but I'm just pressing forth towards the goal, the on high calling. But when he wrote 2 Timothy, before his martyrdom, he could say, I am already being poured out, and the time of my release is coming. I have combated the good combat. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth the crown of righteousness is laid up for me, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will render to me in that day. But not only to me, but also to all who love his appearing. If we endure, we shall reign together with him. A warning. If we deny, he also will deny us. Not in the sense of losing your salvation. You know, the sense of losing salvation never comes in here. But in the sense, when he shall return, he will deny you. That is to say, I do not approve of you. But even if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, I wonder when Timothy received that letter. How Timothy will be encouraged. How his eyes will be open to see that suffering is part and parcel of a Christian life. How he encourage him to share in the sufferings of Christ. That he was honored to have a part in the sufferings of Christ. And how he feels himself honored that he may share the sufferings that Paul suffered. There is nothing negative in sufferings. Brothers and sisters, if you understand suffering, there is nothing negative in it. We are so negative when we suffer. We think that suffering is meaningless. It is unnecessary. We think that suffering is God does not love us. We think that suffering works nothing good. It just brings pains to us.
And when we suffer with a long face. We let everybody know how we suffer. Our whole attitude to our suffering is so negative. But dear brothers and sisters, if you know what suffering really is, it is to have fellowship of your suffering. It is to share suffering together as comrades in Christ. Very positive. You suffer with tears, but you rejoice in your heart. I do hope that this will not bring us into a kind of depressed atmosphere. Oh, we have to suffer. My, we have to suffer from now on. Dear brothers and sisters, if that is your reaction, oh, I hope that these words were never spoken. But I do hope that we will go out and say, thank God that He considers us worthy to suffer for Him. Not only to believe Him, but to suffer for Him. Thank God for His grace. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, our hearts do rejoice before Thee, knowing that Thou hast favored us and hast called us with a holy calling. And because that calling is so holy, we must suffer for it. Our Father, we only acknowledge that we are not worthy to suffer. We beg of Thee that we may have fellowship in the sufferings of Christ. We beg of Thee that we may not desert our brothers and sisters who are suffering for Thy name's sake, but we may be willing to stand with them and to share sufferings together with them. We will consider it as an honor, as a glory. Oh, our Heavenly Father, do give us the will to suffer. So far as our flesh is concerned, it will cry out, don't let me suffer. But Lord, may Thy grace so overwhelm us that we may will to suffer because Thou hast willed it in us. And we do believe that Thy power is manifested in our weakness. In the name of our Lord Jesus.